right now on VFN TV, Faith, Family, and Fun. We're going to hear firsthand, if you want to have more fun and more just great times with your family, the secret is going to be revealed today on today's program, right now.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Faith, family, and fun. I mean, quite often in today's culture, people say, those words don't go together. Well, guess what? The secret to be able to have in that kind of fun and intimate relationships and community and just normalcy is faith. We're going to talk about that today from George Barna. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, this is so interesting, this
yes,
study,
it is.
Right?
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about the study.
Well, the study is the Barna Group worked with the Lutheran Ministries to put this together. They call it the link between fun, faith, and our homes. The Household of Faith
Report.
So
it's reports. a statistical study.
It's a study. So
okay.
they've interviewed Christians here, and they start their report with a story here. I want you to envision this a little bit. A game in the park with the kids, a backyard barbecue with the neighbors.
Sounds nice.
A Saturday afternoon spent tackling the yard work, my favorite. And you and your roommate that potentially have been putting off. These are all things that might make their way into our household's to-do list this time of the year, right?
It's nice, a backyard barbecue, hanging out with the neighbors.
Out.
As a matter of fact, we're going to go this Saturday and spend time with the VFN family. We do that intentionally. It's almost one of the most exciting times to do. All the great food and
fun
and just
fellowship.
I remember watching Pat trying to hit a ball. I mean, every time he swung, he
missed. That wasn't good.
Ball. But his son was so much better at hitting the ball. It was amazing how that Jonathan.
It really is.
So he talks about statistically on this, right?
Yes.
What's he say about it?
Well, the report continues to say that these are also things that the Barna shows often coexist with spiritual vibrancy, and basically. This is an extensive study of practicing Christians and their living arrangements.
So this is only a study of Christians. And
their living arrangements, they find a consistent connection between households that prioritize quality time and households that prioritize faith formation.
You
prioritize the two. Generally active households. So they continue to say that if we're regarding any effort towards faith formation in the household as an outcome on its own, and if we're seeking to understand what distinguishes the people who prioritize these efforts, it's instructive to know that they are the same people who appear to make any activity a priority. This is what they talk about. They talk about welcoming guests, watching TV.
Welcoming guests into your life.
Into your home, into your life, watching TV together, sharing breakfast. And other routines and rituals are also common in households that carve out time to read the Bible, pray, or talk about God together.
Wow.
So these folks that are praying and talking about God, they're also doing other life, you know, routines together. Because today the households are so divided, doing different things all the time.
Yeah.
It's even hard to have a meal together.
Well, even has that graph, right?
Yeah.
Let's take a look at this graph.
Sure.
Welcome, take a look at this graph. It's pretty cool what they're talking about here. And they're saying, you know, specifically right here, I don't know if you can see this, you might be able to stand a little bit closer.
Yeah,
you can see us there, that he talks about spiritual conversation, right?
Conversations, shared prayer or Bible reading.
Right.
And the heading of this is all household activities by participation in shared prayer, Bible reading, or spiritual conversations. This is the percentage of respondents in each household of faith engagement category who say that these activities together who do these household activities together. So these are all the household activities, random routine, and the percentage of Christians that are engaged in
this. This is all about Christians.
All about Christians.
And so the ones, the four different kinds are the spiritual conversations. They have spiritual conversations.
Shared prayer or Bible reading.
Correct. And then there's others are
the no spiritual conversations and no shared prayer or Bible reading.
And so you look at these graphs right off the top, you can just see these two graphs up the top are above all these others, a much higher percentage in this area, right? And down here, this is lower. When you think about that, you're looking at the division. This upper graph and higher percentile and all these things comes with people who actually have spiritual conversations and shared prayer and Bible readings.
Bible reading. These are folks that are eating dinner together, like over close to 100%. They watch TV shows
So if you have a spiritual encounter with your family and God and Bible reading, you're more the byproduct of that is you're probably going to eat together too.
You
right?
eat together, you're going to have some fellowship together, have breakfast, doing things together.
How many people say, you know, we need to eat together more?
Yeah, no doubt.
But they say, oh, I don't want to talk about the Bible at home. Yeah. I don't want to pray at home. It's like, but that's a byproduct when you actually
doing life
together and bringing God into it. So also I noticed they get down here really low, you know, in regards to what happens, in regards to reading books together. It's almost like zero for Christians.
Yes.
Who do not have any spiritual conversation or pray together or read the
That's
Bible
right.
together.
That's right.
Wow.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah. The study continues to say,
mm-hmm.
well, and we
let's
we,
stay on this right here.
Okay.
Can you go to this just at the bottom here? You see this? So we're talking about what, you know, going to the park. Can you read this off?
Yeah.
Host
a non-family.
Bringing people over that's not your family.
Right. Neighbors.
Okay.
Host guests. Go see a movie, mm-hmm. go on walks, play sports, read books together, sing,
right.
Work on household DIY projects,
mm-hmm.
Celebrate holidays, play games, go to church event, worship, go out to eat, do cleaning or yard work, eat breakfast, share feelings,
mm-hmm.
big one, watch your TV or show a movie or eat dinner.
Go back to the graph again. You see right here? So that was at the bottom down here you just saw. So you're looking at if you put God in the center of your life and bring him up.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Bring him up. He says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. So
that's right.
We should be bringing him up.
Yeah.
You know?
And it underscores the importance of having intimacy and relationship. You know, if the only time we want to talk is about spiritual things and we're not engaging in life together, it's going to be pretty difficult.
You know
what I mean? We need to have intimacy and relationship, and that's a springboard to be able to talk about.
So it looks like having a healthy family
mm-hmm.
is having a healthy relationship with God.
Yes.
And talking about him.
Yes.
Bringing him into fellowship with your family.
Mm.
So if you have a member of your family that's saying, they're saying, oh, would you stop talking about the Bible? God, 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 teach.
Yeah.
That's somebody who's being used to bring you down to this lower percentile
Correct.
Of family, community, and what's on them is going to take you away from having an intimate family and a great
Absolutely.
Relationship and great community.
Absolutely.
And typically that comes of pride and narcissism
sure.
and just want to be with themselves.
Yeah.
Self-focus. So if you want to hold on to your family, you need to hold on to God, the highest percentile is going to be in that. Okay.
And bring God into the family, into the home.
Yeah.
Not something that's regulated once a week or going somewhere outside the home.
Right.
Invite the Lord to be in your home.
Right.
Imagine that.
Yeah, and he wants to be with us in our home. One of the things that we have to do is you think about that. You want to make sure that, you know, when you're doing that, that you think about what your home is like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do I allow in my home? What kind of things do I have in my home? What am I allowing in media and choices? And you know what I'm saying?
Because it's really hard to have a spiritual conversation when you just violated all the Ten Commandments in your
right.
family living
I mean,
room. You know
just
what I mean?
Boil it down. If you got Satan in your home, he's not going to want God in your
That's
home.
That's right.
So you got to drive out the devil
That's
to be
right.
able to have, you know, a relationship. We get back from this break. We're going to continue talking
yes,
about.
Talk
What's the
about
next
more.
One we're going to talk about?
We're going to talk about spiritual. He breaks it down, the Christian family, into four categories. Spiritual vibrancy. The other one is how hospitable they are. And the third one is, are they even engaged in anything? Any Christian families? Are they?
Less is dorm, yeah, dorm
dormant.
There.
Dormant.
But I think I want to ask you a question right now. Right now, we would love hearing from you. Write to us, friends at VFNKB.com. We love to hear your comments below. I want to hear about you. What about in regards to your spiritual conversation that you're having at home? What's it like? Are you actually involved in sharing Bible studies and praying and reading the Bible at home with your family and talking about God? And
Together.
How has that impacted your family?
Absolutely.
But also, you know, have you been wanting to have that kind of relationship with your family, but you realize that I'm not having any spiritual conversation, I'm not reading the Bible, not bringing God up at home?
Yeah.
And you know, comment below and share your thoughts, and let's just begin to move together in this, is saying, God, we want you. Remember, originally, God says, I want to dwell with you in houses that you didn't build.
Mm.
God wants to be with us, but we have to invite him and recognize him. Though he's right there, Acts chapter 17, he's waiting for us to reach out and touch him. So comment below, write to us at friends at VFNKB.com. We get so much more. We're going to go deeper into this
yes,
after the
are.
Break. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you about our book. My book is out and it's ready for you right now. I Will Fight, 10 strategies to fight for your success. Listen, so many people in the world understand if you're going to be successful, you got to fight for it. And many people who are believers and Christians think that just success falls out of the sky.
But God has created the earth to respond to your labor. He's created the universe to respond to you believing in faith what he's going to do. So I share in this book very specifically about biblical fights that have happened, but also got 10 specific strategies to be able to help you. I don't care if you're a CEO, I don't care if you're a congressperson or a senator, I don't care if you're a janitor, a business owner, a teacher, a pastor. If anybody knows needs to know how to fight, pastors need to know how to fight for success and define, you know, what success is. But I talk specifically, and I begin in this book, is about how God spoke to me and why am I writing the book. God showed me specifically in a dream, a prophetic dream, several dreams, but one was that he has a wealth transfer coming and he wants to deliver wealth to his people, but they don't have the character and the integrity to be able to manage that wealth. He told me that he's been getting a lot of money and wealth to them, but it goes right through their fingers like holes in a bowl. So they have to learn how to be able to develop strategies, biblical strategies, to be able to be positioned. Why? Because a great harvest of souls is coming, and it's going to take many, many dollars to be able to bring in that harvest, and it's going to be God's people who will fund that. And so he's looking for people that are willing to say, I want to be positioned. This is all about being positioned for great wealth. And it's not necessarily great wealth in money. It could be great wealth and influence, whatever God has entrusted you with. So get your, it's a free book. You just cover shipping and handling. We want to send it to you for free. And you can go to vfnkb.com for all the details. You can see it on your screen. But listen, it's here. It's right here for you. Wonderful thing. How many nuggets? Maybe 500, 600 yeah. wisdom nuggets in addition to these success strategies. It's yours now, vfnkb.com.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to vfntv.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at vfntv.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store, you can go to Google Play Store, or your Windows Store, and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to vfntv.com. We have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to vfntv.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to vfntv.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, we're talking specifically, man, about the spiritual vibrancy among participating Christians in
That's
the household.
Right.
We just had a powerful talk about what they found out through the study. Yes. That if you pray, if you have spiritual conversations in your home, you read the Bible, it makes everything better.
Absolutely.
What's this next aspect we're looking at here?
Well, to give some context to this, what we're looking at,
okay.
The Barna Report says that vibrant households prioritize togetherness, and basically in this study, and this is what they find out. In terms of, they break up the family into four categories.
Vibrant, so, devotional, vibrant, hospitable,
and dormant. Right. So vibrant are those families that engage in spiritual practices, and they can be defined here as praying every day or Bible reading, okay?
That's 25%.
25%.
So these are the ones that are doing it.
Right. They're having spiritual conversations defined as talking about God and their faith weekly, all together as a family. And they're also hospitable. So they have an inward focus, spiritual inward focus amongst the family, but they're also outward focused.
So they're actually reaching out to other folks and inviting them in.
Sure, neighbors, non-family guests.
Which is a very odd thing to do in today's culture in America, to be able to not just be in your inner circle, just always building new relationships and bringing them in.
Unfortunately, especially sometimes on the Gulf Coast, it's only when we have a hurricane that we get to meet some of our neighbors, right? But we've got to start changing that around.
Right. The temperature makes a big difference, too. I know in Texas, our Texas audience out there, it's hot in Texas. But we're not doing the weather. Okay, so the next is 33%.
Our devotional, which basically is they're focusing on two aspects, which is an inward focus.
Right.
They're engaged in spiritual practices, and they're involved in spiritual conversations.
But only with themselves. And they're immediate. Nobody outside folks.
Correct. No family guests, no friends, no coworkers. Their family circle.
Oh, just their family.
Just their family circle. So these are no outside
33%.
Guests.
33%.
These are Christians. Yes.
Oh my goodness. What's this right here?
14%
of Christians
are only hospitable.
Only. So they're not reading their Bibles, they're not talking about God.
In their home. So that means they have opened their home for fun, activities, parties, those things.
Nothing about God.
But we're not talking about, they're not engaged in any spiritual activities in their home, which is talking about the Lord or even going to, you know.
So basically nothing's happened about, has nothing, there's.
Now this is just one party.
Right, okay.
And then 28% is none of the above. So these
are self-focused folks who are not reaching out to anybody, not hospitable. They're not actually having any spiritual practices and not even praying or reading their Bible.
Absolutely.
So that makes a huge difference to the graph we showed earlier.
Yeah.
Go back to that graph real quick like we just showed earlier, and you're looking at, these are the folks, this is what happens when you take that approach.
Yeah.
But the higher graph, the higher percentage basically of a good quality life and experiences that you want, it's almost like God created us, the universe, and everything. And when he's in the center of it, everything goes better.
Everything's better with Jesus.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And
we're not talking about
it.
Being religious-y or preachy or all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
We're talking about engagement, family relationship, getting to know the folks that are actually within our own family. Today, the family has so many distractions, so many things that are
digital
dividing
Digital distractions,
them.
Yes. The digital divide.
The digital divide that you shared about. Great message.
Yeah.
But also, too, it's interesting to talk about how this third space that's come out in our culture, which is the Starbucks, the Panera Breads, people are still wanting to engage in relationship, but they have to leave their home to find it.
The corporate world's understanding what the church has forgotten, which is they're looking for a living room. They're looking for, if you go to Starbucks, you find a nice, relaxed. And the people, it's interesting that the ones who are saying, we don't want to bring up God, go, and what God provides you, but you don't have at home because I don't want God in my home. You go to what corporately is being done and sit there with people you don't know to feel it's like to be close to somebody, but you'll never even talk to them. Maybe if something happens, right?
Maybe.
But no deep things.
Sure.
And God's not often being brought up at Starbucks from what I understand.
No.
And so, but there are people, innately, we want that living room experience. And that's one thing we focus on. When you think about a Vine Fellowship Network, you know, we really, if you haven't signed up for a Vine webinar, right?
Yeah.
A Vine webinar. You know, we talk about how can you do this as the church, right? How do when you look at the original tent of the church, the original tent was family, being together, eating together, you know, listening to the young folks talk about the Avengers again, right? Yes, it's great. No, it's a cartoon if you don't know about it. So, but the thing about it is, it's an animated film I heard right in my ears. Thank you very much, cartoon. And so. I couldn't imagine not having the family that we have around us. You know, people that love us, we love them. And we want to be able to communicate that to you. And we do that in the Vine webinars.
Yes.
And it's just a practical way to break down how to be the family God's called us to be in the church, because we've forgotten how to actually do that.
And I think the biggest hindrance that we're finding to all of this engagement is selfishness, right?
Yeah.
In order for me to know you and to engage in you, I got to put myself aside. The acronym for family could be, forget about me, I love you.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what you taught me.
That's good. I never heard. He's an acronym man. So
forget about me. I love you. So
thank
we're,
you.
We're
thank
not.
I love you too.
Yeah, thank you. Uh-huh. So if you get yourself off your mind and you spend time to get to know the person who's underneath mm-hmm. your roof and you're supposed to engage in, you'll talk about these other things about the Lord.
This Saturday, as a matter of fact, we're coming together as VFN Dream Center. And we're going to come together and just have all this big meal spread. We're going to have a wonderful time, just kicking back, relaxing, experiencing each other's life, listening to what's going on, hugs and all the things. And we can take that for granted for sometimes, not realizing that other people are not experiencing these things. As a matter of fact, go to that 4 point we just had up. You're looking at this is Christians. And what happens, John, we're in expressions, and we are the church, no matter what we're meeting in, but we're all looking in one direction, listening to one man or one woman talk at us.
Yeah.
We never build a relationship with people on the side of us, even though it's a multi-million dollar complex, right? And we walk in strangers, and we leave strangers. We walk in strangers of our own family and leave strangers in our own family. And it's like, what are we doing? Because Jesus called us to be unified with him and unified with each other. And he says the place of the command and blessing, and that's our greatest witness. It's like so many things are dividing us. And it looks like right here, look at this. If you think about 100%, only 75% of the church, 75% of Christians are not experiencing what we're talking about.
Well, actually, almost, close to 50%. Yeah, 14% here, 25 and 33, but you're absolutely right.
Right.
And the whole idea is that, hey, listen,
these guys are inward focused, so they're not. Yeah, only 25%. So 75% are not experiencing that because if you're not, you can't have community and be inward focused.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. And how are we going to reach the lost, preach the gospel, share the love of Christ if we're just concerned about ourselves?
I remember it dawned on me years ago. I was studying. I was like, I found out why people don't reach out for folks.
Tell me.
They don't love them. They don't care about them. They don't care if they live or die, right? They don't. And it's like you got to love folks. And there's this, how we are. It's like we really like talking to people, finding out about their life, and just getting involved in people's lives, right?
It makes a big difference, you know.
Be interested in what they're saying.
Imagine that. Pay attention, you know, and. Part of, we talk about this too, is that part of healing me is hearing me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so many people are looking for healing in all the wrong places. Mm-hmm. What they really need is family engagement. They need someone that
just
cares.
Normal hanging out, spending time with the family, eating food together. But Jesus ate together. He ate so much with folks, they called him a glutton.
And what's a glutton in today's, language? So young person who's listening, what's a glutton?
Oh, that is somebody who eats more than they share at a buffet. We're not going to point to anybody.
They eat too much.
Right. And so listen, we got to go to a break. But what are your thoughts on this? Because only 25% are focused on God in their households, having those kind of things in regards to reading their Bible and praying.
Together,
but they're also reaching out to others and having that same shared experience, which means they're high on the graph of satisfaction and eating together and all that. And 75% of the Christians aren't having that experience. What's your experience? Comment below, write to us at Friends at VFNKB. Which one do you think you fit in, or your family fits in, or your church community fits in? I mean, do you have that kind of community? We'd like to be able to hear from you then. We get back from the break.
We're going to talk about what Paul said in the New Testament, that they didn't just share the gospel, but they shared their lives with each other. And that's powerful.
That's totally awesome. Be sure to write to us at friendsofvfnkb.com and also comment below. We love hearing from you.
We'll be right back.
One of the most difficult responsibilities parents face is the task of letting go.
Dr. James Dobson for Family Talk.
When children are young, parents should be deeply involved in their lives, providing love and protection and authority. But when those boys and girls grow up and reach their late teens and early 20s, the door must be fully open to the world outside. It's the most frightening time of parenthood. The tendency is to retain control in order to avoid the pain of seeing our children make mistakes. However, teenagers are more likely to make the proper choices when they aren't forced to rebel in order to gain their freedom. The simple truth is that love demands freedom. They go hand in hand. But this is the key point. A sudden release of all parental guidance and direction at the end of childhood carries dangerous implications for the adolescent. We've all seen individuals who went a little crazy when they were put on their own for the first time. It's much better to grant independence little by little through the years as our kids are able to handle the new responsibility. The final release, then, should represent a small step toward freedom rather than a tumble off the cliff into anarchy. The goal is simple. We need to cut loose the strings of authority over a period of about 16 years so that when our children are beyond the reach of our leadership, they no longer need it.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is so important when you think about all this. I think about what Paul wrote to the Church of Thessalonica, right? He talked specifically about this kind of community. We're talking about a community. And it's so, people are looking for that secret answer to how do I have a better marriage, have a better family? How do I just connect with people? And it's like having God in the center of your life, right?
Yeah.
What did Paul write to the Church of Thessalonica?
He says,
First Thessalonians 2:8.
So being affectionately desirous of you, we're ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had to become very dear to us.
So it's about sharing your life together.
Sharing your life, yeah.
Greater love hath no man
than to
lay down his life for a friend. So it's about self-denial. It's like picking up our cross and following the Lord. And I think the more you focus on yourself, the more miserable you get.
No doubt.
You know, isn't it amazing that when children are young, like below 10, they're so happy and go lucky. When they hit teenage years, they get sad and depressed. And what's the one thing that teenage years
have in common? What is that?
Self-focus. They start looking at themselves and thinking about themselves and
their happiness,
yes,
what they need to do.
But they were so happy at 5, so happy at 8. And it's like we can learn something from an adolescent child. You know, he says, unless you become like a child, you can't even enter in the kingdom of God. And the secret to it is to help our children get off of being self-focused, but us as children of God to be not self-focused ourselves and be willing to forget everything that you were going to say and about sharing your life at the opportunity to share someone else's life.
This is so true. And we have to make sure that we're part of God's kingdom culture versus the culture of the world. The culture of the world is anti all of this. It's all about self-focus.
Right.
So if you're inviting all that into your home, you're going to bring a counterculture to what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Honoring God, honoring others, loving God, loving others.
And the world says it's all about me.
Yeah.
And in messages people love hearing, it's all about you. But the truth is that
That's
Jesus
good.
Says it's all about him.
You know,
and we make him the center of our universe.
Yeah.
Then we have a better universe. And so many people are getting off kilter in that. And you look at it, 75% based on this graph, you know, are getting off on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool. We found out the secret. It's you know, you can almost panic if you don't know God, because people are panicking right now. And just realize you don't have to panic. You just got to turn to God.
That's it.
Start bringing him up. You know, start. If you don't know what to say, turn on VFN TV. That's a great conversation piece. You know, we don't believe in being religious with folks. We talk about what's going on and learn about a biblical perspective. We unapologetically focus and give all the glory to Jesus Christ in our life because it's true.
Yeah.
It's not a, you know, it's
the truth.
And so I want to encourage you, comment below, write to us at friendsatvfnkb.com. I want to know, how do you fit in this aspect of it? When you think about giving your life over to someone else or allowing, you know, to hear from other folks, how does that impact your life? We want to hear from you. Comment below, write to us at friendsatvfnkb.com. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I pray a blessing right now over our audience. God, I speak healing over them, Lord. Healing over their minds, healing over their relationships, their family. I pray that you would be in the center of their families. And God, we ask you, Lord, that you would end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function. And realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people. I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God. You can go back and watch that on VFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too, mm-hmm. who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we'd want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ. You loved each other. You ate together. You blessed each other. You blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so, when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name, and it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, mm-hmm. and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go. And there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, "What do this is where God's called me, so I'm here to help you out, whatever you need." And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, serving, helping him or her carry that load. And if it's, I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you.